America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Steve Kerr on KMBR. I hate him.
Give this guy the business. Give him the business tonight. You know the Draymond Green chants that they used to bring through the Garden?
Yes.
Substitute Steve Kerr.
Yes.
Swap out Draymond. You can still give Draymond the business.
Give Draymond the business. Go ahead. Give Curry the business for all I care.
Steve Kerr. He is the villain.
I can't stand him. I could not stand Kerr long before the Tatum stuff.
Yeah.
Like, I know a lot of Celtics fans. He's like public enemy number one now.
Yes.
Because he wouldn't play Tatum in the Olympics. And he was probably part of leaving Jaylen Brown off the Olympic team. So I get that Celtics fans now hate him and have come around on it.
Yeah.
I have not. He's so smarmy.
Yep.
And that's coming from a smarmy individual.
Yeah. Takes one to know one.
Seriously. Yep. He's so smarmy and so unlikable. And I can't stand him. And by the way, I don't think he's a good coach. Walton's kid went in and won a million games when Steve Kerr had like a little ache in his back and couldn't coach the team.
It's true.
And so I don't think he's good at his job. I think he feels like he invented basketball. Mm. He talks down to you. And on top of that, you have the Tatum thing. So I can't stand him. That was on KMBR. My buddy forwarded that to me.
Oh,
lives out
God.
In the Bay Area. He's like, I think you could use this.
Yes, we could.
That should just remind you who that guy is on the other side. I know a lot of you want Tatum to send a message tonight.
I do. I do.
Do we get the FU game?
Yeah.
I think so, too.
I think we absolutely do. Meaning
a good box score. I think we definitely get
that. Yeah. Well, and I don't think Tatum's not going to say much. Tatum doesn't say much, but his game certainly can. He's had some monster games already this year. I think this is one he obviously had circled. He might not talk about it. He's definitely gone high road. He's talked a lot about, like, oh, Steph Curry, great. Oh, we played these guys in the finals. I'm friends with Draymond, all that stuff. But Steve Kerr, you know that's driving him nuts. He goes all the way across the world.
He's trying to play it like so cool.
He is.
Oh, wait. Tatum or Kerr you're talking about now? It's driving who nuts?
I think Tatum.
Okay, sorry. I thought you were saying the response in Boston is driving Kerr nuts. He's like playing it off like,
oh,
no.
Yeah, no, that's true. I bet.
No, you're right. Of course it drives Tatum nuts.
No, but it's driving Tatum nuts. And I just think he's thinking, like, he went all the way over there, spent all his time. He's on the Olympic team. He just won a title. And he's not playing. Like, straight up not playing in some games. Now, sneaky, one of my hottest takes of all time is,
yes,
they probably got that right. They won the gold medal. He didn't really fit the team very well. But I want it both ways. I want you to boo Kerr. I want you to say that
Here's
he made a mistake.
It doesn't matter who Team USA plays.
You're kind of right on that.
It does not matter.
But did you notice?
Outside of the team that had Marcus Smart on it, that matters. It doesn't matter who Team USA plays. We're so much better than the rest of the world. You can start Tatum. You can not start Tatum. You're going to win the gold either way. It's irrelevant.
Yeah, but it was like the game was kind of in balance at one point. And if you're just watching all those games, Joel Embiid and Jason Tatum just didn't fit in with those guys. It just didn't really, like, I don't know. The offense wasn't as good. So, yeah, I kind of think that he made the right call. Doesn't mean he should be let off the hook. Because you essentially embarrassed the best player on the title team. And you kind of played favorites to all these guys, all these Western Conference guys.
Well, he's still clinging to, I played Derek White
Stop
and Drew
it.
Holiday
Stop.
So much.
Stop. Stop.
Yeah, yeah. Why'd you do that
No,
again?
You played Curry, LeBron, Durant, and Devin Booker are the guys that you, and even Anthony Davis. He was so worried about the Western Conference guys, I feel like.
Interesting.
So that's what I think. He was playing his guy. He obviously was playing LeBron because everybody kisses LeBron's ass. And then the other guys that he went to, like Devin Booker, it was very good. But I think he started like every game. He was really like lean. So like those Western Conference guys going up against the Spurs would have no motivation. I think he knew he had to sit a guy or two. And he ended up taking it out on Embiid, Halliburton, and Tatum. I think it was like
Halliburton deserved it.
No, I know, but I'm just saying.
Embiid,
like,
I agree, didn't fit the roster. I don't know that I agree Tatum didn't fit the roster. If you can't figure out your roster with a top five player in the world, then that's on you.
Yeah, that might be on Kerr, and that's fine. I'm just saying, but when he was out there, even in like the prelim games, It just didn't seem like it was. It seemed like LeBron, Curry, even Booker and Anthony Davis, who I don't even like. Like, those guys played well together. But regardless, I think this was months ago, and I did, and people were fired up about it. We talked about it all the time for like those 2 weeks when that was happening, and how crazy it was that he wasn't even playing, or he'd play like 2 minutes and then come out of the game. So I just hope people are still as fired up tonight as
they're
going to
be. They're 100%.
I think they will be.
Yeah. You can let us know. 617-779-7937. Celtics fans, I know you are. It's Celtics Wednesday on Jones and Keefe. We're going to talk to Terp at 11:45, as we do every Wednesday. We'll get the latest on Jaylen Brown, who will not play tonight due to a hip injury. It's going to be his third straight game that he's missing. So I want the latest on that. I want his thoughts, of course, on Tatum tonight. The prop that I've seen, it's right around 30 points, 29.5, 30.5, something like that.
Yes.
I think Tatum is going to do his talking in the box score tonight.
Oh, yeah.
I think he will have a big game.
Same.
And I'm not worried about him like forcing it or anything like that, especially without Jaylen Brown. He's going to put up numbers. He's been locked in. He's been red hot. If you voted today on the MVP of the league, he might be the MVP of the league. Mm. I don't think he's going to win it, but he might be the MVP of the league if you voted today on November 6th. Nothing else we've been voting on in the last 24 hours.
We should keep voting.
So, like, he might be that locked in right now is my point.
Yeah.
I think he's going to have a great box score tonight. Is that enough for Celtics fans? Like, is that enough? Like, I see the Twitch chat. Greg was joking about this earlier today. Twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. I need Deuce to flip off Kerr. I need Tatum to stare him down.
I don't think that's
I need
in
Tatum,
Tatum
to say something after the game. Okay, but fine. I don't think it's in Tatum either.
It's not. He's not going to be Reggie Miller, Spike Lee.
Okay.
He's not doing that.
So is the box score enough for Celtics? This is what I'm asking.
Yeah, I'm saying
is
yes.
that enough? It's not enough for me.
I want
more out of Tatum.
You want him to chest bump him? What do you want?
This flat line, like, and I think he's too scared to do it. I think some of it is Tatum is too much of a wuss to do it. Wiggy was using the word classy, maybe.
Yeah, I don't know if he's a wuss. I just don't think that's
in his game. I think Tatum is a little afraid of the backlash from other players around the league, which is why he hasn't been outspoken about it. I think he's a little afraid of the backlash of just how it would be viewed.
Remember when he dunked on LeBron that one time?
He's afraid to put himself out there, yeah.
And he, like, stared at him?
Yeah.
That's the only time he's ever done that.
Do more of that.
I love it.
Tonight is the night he should be staring at Steve
Kerr.
But
it's not.
And he should talk his talk after the game. He should do all those things.
Yeah.
I want him to do those things. And I know Celtics fans want him to do those things. And it's annoying he's afraid to go there.
I think it might be one of those things where the fans are certainly going to be doing quite a bit of talking and chanting and screaming.
Yes.
And Tatum's going to be lighting it up. And he's probably not going to say much. You might have guys on his team that say stuff. You know,
he'll have people fight those battles for him. Yeah.
Yeah, but that's what he does.
It's like Al Horford on Twitter. His sister will fight all his battles for him. You know, that's what he has.
So maybe.
Dropping F-bombs with children in the crowd. Real classy. Good job, Boston.
Nice.
Yep. I think there might be a couple, 2-3 F-bombs here tonight as well. Yeah, I got it at Tatum over 30.5 points. I'm going to go ahead and do over 7.5 rebounds, over 4.5 threes.
Oh, yeah.
And then I think they cover the spread. So it was 7, now it's 6 for some reason. I think they're going to blow doors on the Warriors, too.
The Warriors have been good.
The Warriors are good, but
I don't really know how, but they've been good.
So they've been playing a million guys.
You think it was subtracting Clay?
Yeah.
It might be that.
Buddy Hield's, like, killing it. Buddy Hield's a much better version of Klay Thompson than Klay Thompson was.
Yeah, Klay's
Klay's lost. Smoked. Like, he had a great career and good for him, but Buddy Hield's better. But Steph Curry, I think, is on, like, a little bit of a minutes restriction. So even if Steph Curry is, like, matching Tatum shot for shot, he might only do it for, like, 20 minutes, 24 minutes. And then that's just more of Tatum. So I think he's going to go bonkers.
So you want Tatum to do nothing tonight? In terms of, like,
I have no expectation for that. I don't think it'll happen.
Well, this is part of why when people are like, it's a grudge tour. It's an FU tour.
No, for us.
Tatum
it
revenge
is for us.
Game.
It's not for him.
He's not going to do any of that.
Yeah, but he lights up the scoreboard. That's pretty good.
That is good.
Yeah.
And that's fine. So, but what I'm saying is, if he does come out and do any of that, he stares down Steve Kerr, if you think he's too classy to do that, then you should be kicking and screaming about that and chastise him for it.
No, why? Yeah. It's not in him, though. It's not, like, out of character. It would be out of character for him to do that.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
If he does do it, then fans should be like, whoa, that's weird. That's classless is what you should do.
Oh, no.
I don't care. I want him to be classless tonight.
No, but I like taunting. I like all that stuff.
I want the taunting. Yeah. I want the classlessness.
Yeah. No, listen, I don't like sportsmanship. I don't think there's a place for it. Like, take it and stick it. I don't need it. But I'm just saying, like, that is not his whole career. It hasn't been that way. We've kind of wanted that, and you're like, all right, it's not really there.
Well,
Jaylen
Brown's
a little bit more snarl.
You just said it. He dunked on LeBron and stared him down a little bit.
That was, I believe, his rookie year,
and
he's never done anything
since. What about his little, like, blow the kiss thing? Like, that's a little bit of a taunt.
Maybe.
Yeah.
So it's not like directed at
a person. But I'm saying, but there's a little, he's done a little bit of, he's dabbled in it a little bit.
He doesn't jaw with players though, really. You don't see him talking. He walks away.
Stare at Steve Kerr.
Steve Kerr, yeah.
Stare down Steve Kerr. No one likes Steve Kerr.
Yeah.
We all want you to get your grudge match, your revenge game.
Yeah.
So
I don't think it's going to happen.
I think
statistically it will happen.
No, he's going to have a big game.
Yeah.
I'm with you on that. But I'd like a little extra from Tatum tonight. I would like it to be an actual FU tour with, as the Twitch chat said, Deuce flipping off Steve Kerr. That I want that tonight.
Do you think?
And you're not going to get it.
Now,
which
it
is
also
a shame.
It'll depend on the score, obviously. But do you think Missoula plays him like 45 minutes tonight?
So the one reason I would be a little afraid of betting the over
is
or
if
like
they
some
just
of
dominate
the, some of the prop bets. I don't want to tip Terp's hand here. But he's 40-plus for Tatum is like plus 450 or something
I
like that.
I think Shime and Wiggy went in on
they
50,
bet plus
right?
50.
Yeah, 50
burger. What would scare me about that is Tatum hardly plays fourth quarters these days. And so if they're blowing the Warriors out in a typical game, he wouldn't play the fourth quarter. But will Missoula pour it on? He might.
Yeah.
Missoula might tonight. So maybe you don't have to worry about Tatum sitting, even if it's a blowout. Missoula's going to let him go for 50. He might.
They've played 8 games this year. He's been the team's leading scorer 6 times. The other 2 times that it wasn't him, it was Brown, who's out. So, I mean, I would expect a big number from Tatum. We'll see if he gets the threes. He's been like, I feel like it's kind of hit or miss when it comes to the threes. He's had some games where he's just throwing everything in, then other games where he's been a little cold from there.
Yeah, the game I bet the second half over 2 didn't hit.
Didn't happen.
I'm trying to remember what game that was. Was it one of the Charlotte games? I don't remember.
But that's
why
that one's plus money. I think the number's 4.5, so it over is plus. But if you're expecting, like me, well over 30 points, yeah, he could throw in 5 threes.
So what do you expect out of Tatum tonight? Do you expect 40 or 50? Do you want him to talk his talk? Do you expect anything with Kerr tonight? We know the fans are going to be into it. You can jump in. 617-779-7937. What do you expect to see? What do you want to see? You won't be seeing Jaylen Brown tonight. Should you be concerned at all about this this hip issue for Jaylen Brown? And I want to get the wording right on what they've referred to it as.
Yeah.
But it's a hip injury for Jaylen Brown. Should we be concerned at all about that? He's going to miss his 3rd straight game with a hip flexor strain, Keith, is what they're calling
it. Yeah, I would be a little bit. I think it's one thing to, you know, sit out a Hornets game or a Hawks game. You would think maybe this one, especially when I don't think Steve Kerr was fully in charge of the roster. They have a whole staff. Grant Hill kind of was the face of that for Team USA. But this was also a revenge game, you would think, in a way, for Brown. Like,
correct.
This is you got snubbed from the Olympic team.
There's motivation for Brown to
both
play
guys
in the game,
yeah.
And he's still not playing in the game.
Yeah. And
yeah,
these
that's
guys,
not,
you know, these
that's
guys,
not great.
They love playing ESPN TNT games, so it's like it's a marquee game of the week. I had no problem with him sitting out, you know, the back-to-back in Charlotte. You're like, all right, whatever. And then he's out again. They didn't need him. I don't think they necessarily need him tonight, but we're just talking about concern about the injury. Like, yeah, a guy like that missing 3 games and counting with a hip, too, like, not great.
No. And so, to me, that is concerning. Now, does it mean, like, his season's over or anything? No. But, yeah, there is motivation. It's a good way to put it. There's motivation for him to play in the game. There's a message he would want to send, you would think, in this game. And it's not just the Hornets. It's not just the Hawks. It's a big game. And he's not playing in it.
Oh, good point.
So
by
it's probably just worse than they're letting on, is all I would say about it.
Dark and stormy nights in the Twitch chat.
Yes.
Brown missed the Atlanta game in Atlanta as well. Where
that's
he's
true,
from.
Too. So yeah,
like,
good point.
Like, obviously, so like those are 2 games that he probably had circled.
So, like, you know, the team saying it's no big deal, don't worry about it. That's the gist of what you're getting right now. And again, we'll ask Terp about it later on in the hour. But the gist is, it's not a big deal, don't worry about it.
It's like, all right, well, then when's he back?
He's missing a game in his home city. He's missing a game against the Warriors that Celtics fans have had circled since the schedule came out, or at least since the Olympics. And so that just speaks to the severity of it. It's worse than they're letting on. How bad is it? I don't know, but it's worse than they're letting on.
Yeah, no, so that's obviously one to keep track of, because then they're off. Then they have the game Friday and Sunday, so they play like every other night for a little while here. So we'll see, because they haven't given any kind of timetable or anything for
Let me give you one more on the Celtics here. And this is I guess sort of a sidebar topic, but I heard Greg talk about it. I watched this video yesterday. Perk was on. Was he on All the Smoke? Where was this from? I think
he's
he was on
everywhere.
All the Smoke.
Perk's everywhere.
He is.
He
everywhere.
Used to come on this station a good amount. Then he got just too big for his britches.
Oh, is that what happened?
Yeah, he was like a Dale and Keefe guest for a while, and the next thing you know, Perk's gone.
Was like a weekly guest.
I would say like semi-weekly. Like he came on a decent amount.
Intermittently he was on.
Then he was gone.
Okay, that's a good guest.
Well, couldn't get him anymore.
Well, WEEI's Brian Scalabrine, who will be on WEEI Afternoons today at 4 o'clock.
That's right after Schefter.
Yes.
Their power block of guests.
That snitch, Schefter. They should ask him about that Jonnu Smith tweet.
That's true. What are you trying to get Jonnu Smith attacked?
Yeah. Yeah, you're trying to get him
and
killed?
And why he doesn't have an Amazon Prime account.
Yeah, right.
Oh,
meth
yeah.
Streams.
Oh, yeah.
My first question would be about meth streams.
Got to ask him.
He's answering questions about meth streams and Jonnu Smith tweets. It's like, guys.
What else are you watching on meth streams?
You got any Patriots questions today? Not really. And so Scal.
You don't have Prime?
Scal be on today. He'll probably be asked about this. But here's Perk going off on Scal in the aftermath of the Celtics championship parade last year.
Is it true that the Celtics banned you from ring night?
To be quite honest, I don't give a right? I don't give a I don't give a because here's the thing.
Stop for a second.
I never.
Stop. I love Perk. Do you think he doesn't care?
I think he cares quite a bit.
I also think he cares.
I think he cares quite a bit.
I love Perk. I'm on Perk's side on this, but don't tell me you don't care. But keep going.
I never take winning the championship for granted.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But they act like you have to be tied to that situation or that's your life, right? Like, it was an honor to play for one of the most historical franchises. I never take that for granted.
Right.
I think what ended up happening was, well, I know, I said a take about Joe Mazzulla. They win the championship, and Brian Scalabrine, he's like, well, door's not just open for him to come back to the Celtic organization. Now, it's two things I took from there. One, Scal, who the f*** are you?
Right.
You was the same that when we won a championship, was in street clothes, hurry up and went changed into your jersey. So once we started taking pictures, you could know that you was part of the team. Started this season, I actually get an email from Joe Mazzulla saying, whenever you're free, if you're in Boston or we play the Rockets, I want to go to dinner and break bread.
So you going to take that dinner with Mazzulla?
Yeah, for sure. I'm actually starting to love the way that he is.
Okay.
I love it.
No, I mean, Perk's like everybody else. We all of a sudden love Joe Mazzulla. We all had questions about Joe Mazzulla.
Right.
It's so odd that the organization froze him out because he criticized Joe Mazzulla, but whatever, that's what's going on.
That's kind of his job, and at the time, that's how Perk felt, and he's going to change it. And also, like,
do you think the bird flying backwards thing was, like, offensive? People make that out like it was offensive. I don't think that was offensive.
No.
I mean, if Joe Mazzulla
said it before, he said
if Joe Mazzulla doesn't appreciate the commentary, fine, but, like, you're not going to allow him around the team. A former NBA champion with the Celtics in 2008, who did a hell of a lot more than Scal. No offense, Scal.
Dude, hilarious Scal burn.
Scal.
Dude, hilarious. You had to change into the uniform for the pictures after? Like, that is like, I forget who it was. It was, it was T.O., I think, making fun of Keyshawn Johnson one time when he won a Super Bowl. And because he won a Super Bowl with the Bucks, but T.O. was like, you'd have to check the box score, or you know, you have to check like the roster to even know that you're on the team, kind of thing. Like basically, you didn't do anything for that title.
Ouch.
So this one's pretty good.
Keyshawn was a big player on those teams.
But I don't think
he didn't do anything in the Super Bowl.
He like didn't score any touchdowns. Like he was like a guy that was just like yards. Yeah, look it up. I bet he didn't score touchdowns for like for the Bucks. But regardless, it was just player on player crime like that. Like those guys can have their rivalry. So I sort of like the feud within the feud. So it starts out as Perk versus Celtics or Celtics versus Perk.
Yeah.
Now it's Perk versus Scal.
I do like that.
That's pretty good.
I do appreciate that.
But also,
that's
like
a man who's not afraid to talk. I mean, Tatum afraid to talk. Perk not afraid.
Perk not afraid. And I think he sort of alienated a lot of Celtics fans, but it's probably also propped him up on like ESPN because they're like, all right, here's a guy that'll talk trash about the team.
If you're alienated by Perk's criticisms, then you're a baby.
But like, also, I mean, Mazzulla, like, look at it this way. Yeah. Like, Mazzulla
A ton of Celtics fans were questioning Joe Mazzulla.
Oh, if they didn't let fans into the building who were talking trash about Mazzulla at one point, it'd be an empty stadium or an empty building.
If the organization treated fans the way the organization is treating Perk, you'd be a half-filled building at most.
And, like, the bigger part of it.
The worst coach ever.
But Mazzulla said to Perk, hey, I want to meet with you. And Perk said, yes. So, like,
does that shock you at all?
No.
Me neither.
Not at all.
At bare minimum, he loves the awkwardness, Mazzulla.
Yeah. Oh, Mazzulla will, he'll be in his element there.
Yeah, he'll thrive in that.
No, but those two, but isn't that the whole point? So forget about like what Scal's saying or forget about like what other fans are saying or whatever. If Mazzulla wasn't that offended by it, like why should everybody else be so offended by it? Like you can't just have positive coverage
Mazzulla,
of your team.
Mazzulla may have been offended by it past tense. He might be over by...
No, and that's fine.
That is fine.
He can be offended by it, but it's like, we're going to bring back all these guys from the 08 team, and it's like, well, what about the starting center? Like, no.
No, not him.
He can't come back.
He was mean to the coach.
He said a bird line, like a bird brain. Like, okay. So he's not invited back?
Right.
You don't have to love every guy that's back, but are you honoring that team or are you not honoring that team? So I feel like he should be back. And as a fan, you don't have to agree with anything Perk says. Like, that's also fine. Like, that's just, he's just doing his job the way that he thinks he should do it. But, no, overall, that was pretty hilarious.
Keyshawn Johnson, by the way.
One touchdown?
76, 1,088 yards, 5 touchdowns that year, I think.
Never mind. 0-2?
0-2.
Wow. All right, so T.O. was maybe off him about that one.
14 catches, 194, and a touchdown in the postseason. I'd have to look up his Super Bowl. But, yeah, I think T.O.'s a little off on that one.
I guess so.
Scal, I think we can all agree on. But
was
that
street clothes? Hurry up and win change into your jersey. So once we start taking pictures, you can know that you was part of the team.
Make sure you don't miss Scal today on WEEI Afternoons, 4 o'clock right here on WEEI. It's Jones and Keefe. We'll get to your phone call, 617-779-7937. Jason Tatum tonight, what do you expect out of him? What do you expect the message will be to Steve Kerr? You can weigh in on Perk v. Scal as well. Plus, it's a Wednesday, which means it's not just a Celtics Wednesday. It's a Would You Rather Wednesday. We'll get to that right after.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Trending with Billy Laney. Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. It's Would You Rather Wednesday. We'll get to some Would You Rathers in one moment. It's also a Celtics Wednesday. We'll talk to Turp at 11:45. Season Warriors tonight. Jason Tatum, FU Tour. It's a grudge match. It's a revenge tour. Revenge game.
Revenge game. Revenge night.
Steve Kerr is expecting the worst from Celtics fans tonight. So what do you anticipate? We'll get to all of that, including the latest on Jaylen Brown with Terp. So stay tuned for it. Just a couple of items from Jerod Mayo, who's speaking now.
Nice.
Andrew Callahan tweets this out. He says, Jerod Mayo was asked about the trade deadline and the team not getting a deal done.
All right.
He says, I'm not sure why.
Oh.
For us, it's about value. It's about thinking about the present and also the future.
No doubt.
Okay, covered all his bases there.
I like that.
This one's a bit newsier.
All right.
Our pal Mike Cadlick tweeted this one out. Mayo, on the Patriots roster, currently having 7 wide receivers.
It's too many. It's
he
too
says,
much.
These guys are on the roster right now.
Ooh.
We're always looking to get better.
Well.
Except on deadline day.
Yeah, you've missed an opportunity, it feels like.
That may be addition by subtraction.
Nice. 7! I agree. We've been screaming about that for all season. So that and you missed the window to trade, but honestly, the two guys you're going to get rid of,
you weren't going to get anything for.
No, so you got to cut them.
Yeah, fine, but
you got to cut them loose.
But
say goodbye.
Isn't Jerod Mayo? Isn't that his way of saying,
"Hey,
isn't that Jerod Mayo's way of saying, "Hey, Elliot, like, could you trade one of these?
You
guys?
Lop some of these guys off."
I think that's Jerod Mayo's way of saying what we've been saying, Elliot. Yeah. What were you doing yesterday?
Addition by
subtraction. That means you subtract.
Think about all the bodies they've thrown on the offensive line. You couldn't use like an extra one of those guys. You need 7 wide receivers.
Yeah.
And then 2 of them have to be inactive every week.
Like, 7 terrible wide receivers.
7 guys. They stink.
We got a text yesterday. I'll paraphrase, but it's like this team has 7 receivers and one of their starting corners or in the mix corners, Marcus Jones, is probably their 3rd or 4th best receiver.
Correct. I'd rather him on the field than almost all those other guys.
I would rather Marcus Jones out there taking snaps on offense than Tyquan Thornton, KJ Osborne. Certainly Jalen Reagor, who's long gone. Who else am I missing?
Jalen Polk.
Yeah, but Polk, they need to play.
Yeah, I know.
Like, Polk stinks, it seems like, but Polk needs to play.
No, specifically KJ Osborne and Tyquan Thornton.
Those are the 2
big
ones.
That gets you down to 5.
Yeah.
But, I mean, if you just look at, like, playmakers or pass catchers, you're better off throwing the ball to Hunter Henry. You're better off throwing it to Ramondre Stevenson.
Right.
Throwing it to Marcus Jones.
So even the coach thinks it's addition by subtraction to get these guys off the team.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, I'm not
they
sure
say that
why we,
publicly?
Like, I'm not sure why we didn't make any trades. So that'll be worth getting back into.
Okay.
We'll do that here on a Would You Rather Wednesday. Jones and Keefe on WEEI. All right, Billy, what do we have today?
First one, would you rather have Drake May or Caleb Williams?
Ooh, we got a showdown this Sunday. Number one pick versus number three pick. It's early jumps in both their careers. Mm-hmm. Caleb Williams started right off the rip. Drake May less so. I've really, really liked what I've seen from Drake May, but I'm going to stick with what I thought going into the draft process, which is I thought Caleb Williams was the best quarterback coming out. So I will stick with Caleb Williams, admitting that it's very close. I don't think there's really a wrong answer here, but I would say I would rather have Caleb Williams.
Okay, I would rather have Drake May, and I'm also standing by my pre-draft feelings.
Yeah.
I didn't like it's not about talent. If it's purely on talent, Caleb Williams greater than Drake May on pure talent.
I thought you were a talent guy.
And May is plenty talented.
You claim to be a talent guy.
Yeah, I do.
And yet.
But I also, when I see a guy sobbing into his mom's bosom after a game, I have trouble taking that seriously as a leader on your team.
He wanted to watch Netflix and with his dog. I like that too.
I don't care about the nail painting.
I think you do.
Sobbing on mommy.
I want to go home and cuddle my dog and watch some shows.
Like,
hey, same.
I can't get behind that.
That really
so, like,
is the dream, isn't it?
Something that egregious, Keith. I am a talent guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Something that egregious, I go, something's off there.
Can you admit, though?
I'm with Katie. I don't.
Yeah, my wife was I'm out of Caleb.
Something's off with Caleb Williams.
5 minutes into Hard Knocks, she's like, is that guy any good? He won't be good. I think so.
It's as simple as that. I'm not saying Caleb Williams stinks. I'm just saying I would rather Drake May.
Do you think that you talked about some of the red flags he had coming in? It seems like the team, watching from the outside, likes him. Like, it seems like the Chicago guys have embraced him. Do you not see that?
I feel like a little bit of a mess right now.
I feel like that's mostly Eberflus. They both have bad head coaches. I think he has a worse one.
It probably is.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I mean, it's a legitimate I don't know. I don't follow it close enough.
I think DJ Moore hates Caleb Williams.
DJ Moore might be maybe an
he
issue.
He liked Justin Fields, and now all of a sudden he's throwing temper tantrums every other week.
How
good of a quarterback evaluator is he?
I don't know that his teammates love him.
Okay.
And that's a legitimate,
captain,
I don't know.
Isn't he? I think they voted him a captain.
Probably. I think you kind of have to when you're turning your whole franchise over to a guy. That doesn't mean he's a good leader.
I think he's been solid this year.
Oh, no, he's good.
Up and down, but
not to throw you a curveball. If it's Jaden Daniels or Drake May, how would you answer the question? That one to me is tougher.
Jaden Daniels or Drake May? I think I would go Drake May.
I'd still go Drake May as well, and I would have done that.
Daniels having the best year of all three of them, but I would go May.
That gap is closed. Like, to me, the gap that I felt going in between Williams and May, not that significant.
Yeah.
The Daniels one is closer, but I would take May over both of them. I would.
Yeah, yeah.
I would have done that before the draft. I would do that now.
Well, Bo Nix.
Big gap.
Guy's killing it.
Big gap there.
A winning record.
What else do we have, Billy?
Would you rather college basketball players stay 2 years in school or be allowed to go pro out of high school?
Okay, you go first.
The second thing.
Yeah.
Like, forcing Cooper Flagg, for instance.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Forcing him to go to college is so dumb.
Go pro. He'd be like a number one pick in the draft.
And I like college hoops. I enjoy college hoops, not as much as I used to.
Mm-hmm.
And I get forcing him to go for a couple of years could maybe increase some of the recognition. And I think that's one of the things that college basketball struggles with, obviously. But if Cooper Flagg is never there, you don't have to worry about that. And then all the kids who belong in college are in college, and maybe they stick a little bit longer.
Yeah, I hated this rule, and they changed it. And there's been talk here and there about going back to it, but they still haven't. I think this was just to protect the GMs, because GMs were falling in love with Corleone Young and guys like that.
Yeah,
and then
it was
a whiff, and then you're like, oh, you have this guy on the bench. Or you'd go the other way. You know, you'd draft a good player like Jermaine O'Neal, but the team that drafted him basically just had to, coach him for 4 years, and then he got good somewhere else. But then, for every example like that, a guy Martell Webster was kind of in and out pretty quick. Like, LeBron and Kobe and Garnett. And, these guys were great pretty much right away.
Yeah, and there's even examples of guys who fell to the second round, and in real time, you're like, oh, my God,
Monte
he ruined
Ellis
his career. Yeah.
Ended up being awesome.
I mean, Rashard Lewis was crying on draft night.
Yeah.
Not on his mommy like Caleb Williams. He's crying on draft night.
Maybe he was. They didn't show it. But.
And he fell the second round. He had a great career.
Yeah, so I think they should. And
there
also,
are counterbalances to that.
And also, I don't think you should force him to go two either. I think it should sort of be whenever you're ready to go pro. And I think it would cut down on some of the one and dones. I think it might bring more attention to college basketball. That was the one thing we were saying, how the Caitlin Clark's last two seasons, all right, you got some real rivalries. You got real players, teams that sort of develop together. You don't have that in the men's game. But if you at least said, all right, these stud top three, four, five guys don't have to do that. They can just leave right from high school. It worked out, I think, fine.
It would also fix the stupid problem of these kids going to the G League. That's the worst.
Yeah,
go
right.
Go play in the G League, like Jalen
Green,
year,
yeah,
where I can't even watch you, and I don't want to watch you.
Are they on Twitch?
You
like
should
us?
Just be allowed. Probably.
YouTube.
You should be allowed to just go right to the NBA.
Yeah.
Instead of wasting a year and wasting everyone's time for the G League Ignite or whatever they are, and don't force them to go to college. The really good kid is going to work out.
Yeah.
And if they make a mistake, they make a mistake. They're adults, effectively.
It's their choice.
They could vote in the election in a lot of cases.
They sure could.
They can make that choice. And if it doesn't work out, oh well, they made a bad choice. That happens to a lot of kids. And if they go to college, that's their choice as well. But forcing them to go for X amount of time, I think, is stupid.
Yeah.
Okay. What else, Billy?
All right. Assuming you win the same number of total Super Bowls in a 10-year span,
okay,
would you rather three-peat or have an undefeated season?
Got it. So I'm winning the same amount of Super Bowls either
way. It's not about how many you got.
But would I rather win one undefeated or win three in a row? I'd rather win one undefeated.
Yeah. So neither have ever been done, right?
The three-peat's never been done? In the NFL, no.
So the three-peat's insane. That stands apart. I'd still go undefeated season. And I guess that has been done.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, not in this many games. But you're right. That has been done. Obviously.
So undefeated's happened.
Yes.
But the league was different. Obviously, less games. I still think that. Now, the Chiefs have the chance to do both this year, which would be insane. But I think, like, looking back on it 10 years later, say, you know, both teams win five, right? Like, maybe one team wins every other year, but one team wins, like, a three-peat in there. That's insane, like what a run that is. I think it still stands out more the 20-0 perfect season, because now you have an argument to be made that is the singular best team of all time.
Yeah.
Whereas the three-peat's like, all right, that's the best run of all time.
Mm-hmm.
But the undefeated season to me is the best.
Yeah, and so again, you're not changing the net number of championships.
Yeah, because that's obviously what you would
Right,
care
obviously,
about
would I rather have three Super Bowls or one as an undefeated? You'd rather have the three, like, duh.
Yeah.
But if you're not changing the outcome, yeah, I would rather the undefeated. And the crazy thing is, as you just said,
I know
the Chiefs do both, and you actually forecasted yesterday will do both.
I think they will. No, I think they'll have the regular season undefeated.
I think they get the
playoffs. I don't think they win three. I don't think they win three in a row. I think something happens. They've been kind of like getting by the skin of their teeth, and I know you're saying, well, you're just calling they're going to have an undefeated season. Like, yeah, I think regular season's a little bit different. We went over their schedule. Really, Buffalo, maybe Houston, depending on how you feel about them, are the only real teams. Now, upsets happen all the time, and there's always like that horrible team that beats a good team. But those are the two that look like legitimate tests.
Yep.
They also do have a really fluky season or schedule where they play Black Friday, they play like Christmas Day, they play like four different days of the week.
What are you rooting for? Are you rooting for them to go undefeated in the regular season so you can root against them in the playoffs? Are you rooting against them to so that they lose a game in the regular season?
No, I'd rather them lose a game, I think,
so
in the regular season.
I want them to go undefeated in the regular season. So,
You want the whole thing?
No, I'm saying right now I'm rooting for them. Like, I was rooting for them the other day against Tampa. I'm like, keep winning,
yeah.
Go undefeated. But when the calendar flips to the playoffs,
and lose.
I will be rooting against them at that point in time. I don't think they're a bad team, of course, but I will be rooting against them at that point in time.
It's kind of a win-win.
And I would do that with any team. It's not just because they're the Chiefs. I would do any team that's undefeated that gets to the playoffs, I would automatically root against them.
Yeah,
I would.
Of course. Yeah. Oh, 100%. Yeah, 100%.
But I want them to do the undefeated run in the regular season so that I have...
And then you can rip their hearts out of their chest.
I have the stake and the rooting interest come playoff time where I can now really, really root against them.
See, I think I'm going to have that regardless because they're going for a three-peat, which the Patriots never did. So even if they go 15-2...
They'll root against them either way.
I think, yeah. I mean, unless they're playing like the Steelers or the... I'm trying to think of teams that I like less, but for the most part, I'll be rooting against them no matter what.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Final question. Would you rather eat Chicago deep dish pizza or New York style?
I'm going Chicago deep dish.
Wow.
I know it's like a big old thing of lasagna, but I like a Chicago deep dish. I've only been to Chicago a couple of times, but one of the times I went to a place called Pequod's.
Mm-hmm.
One of the greatest things I've ever eaten in my life.
Really?
Like, it fills you up. So like, you are like sick full when you're done with it.
Can I ask a question?
I actually love it.
Because I've only gone to Chicago once. I had the deep dish while I was there.
Yeah.
And I don't remember where I went, but it was like one of the recognized ones, the Ray Malnati's or whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so in Chicago, is it every corner you go get pizza, it's all deep dish Chicago style? Or it's like
good
in
question.
Other words, in New York.
Like Chicago hot dogs, too. They
correct.
Load it up.
Those stink. I don't like that.
Yeah, I like that too.
I like the deep dish pizza. Yeah. Here's the thing. With New York, it is such a range. Like, I like New York style pizza a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's a lot of great pizza places in New York, of course. But there is like a wide range. You can go to a crummy place. You can go to a really great place. Is there that much volume with the deep dish pizza in Chicago?
It's funny.
Where every corner is like, oh, this is crummy deep dish. This is really great. Or is it only a select amount of places?
I don't know. I probably got it like two or three different places. The one was far and away the best.
Your answer's right, by the way. I would also go deep dish.
Would you really?
But
I feel like that's a bit of a hot one.
But that's like a I wouldn't want to do it all the time.
No, he couldn't.
Right.
You couldn't. There's so if you're no
telling,
way you
if
could.
If you're telling me I get to pick one, it's like as like a last meal type thing. Deep dish.
Last meal.
But
what'd
I can
you do? What happened? Why do you have one meal
don't
left?
Ask.
Good Lord.
I broke the law with the mushrooms.
They got you.
Yeah. And so, give him the chair. And so,
yeah, I would go deep dish
okay,
as well.
But, okay, as a last meal type situation, which is how I'm treating this question, I would go deep dish. But what if it's you can only eat one for the rest of your life?
Oh.
Then it's New York style.
Yeah.
Do you understand?
Yes, I do. Yes, I understand. Don't talk down to me. Yeah, I would. In that scenario, like, hey,
I only get one for the rest of my life. How much deep dish can I really eat?
Even if it was, hey, you're going to have it every weekend. For the rest of your life. Not even every day.
Fine.
But every weekend, I would probably go to
it's
New York.
It's still New York stuff.
But if it's like, hey, like once a month, I'd be like, yeah, maybe Chicago. Maybe deep dish.
No, no, it's a last meal, Keith.
No, not just a last meal. I mean, sometimes if you eat enough of it, it feels like your last meal.
Yeah,
like,
right.
I don't think I'm going to have
another
one.
I'm going out doing what I love.
I'll never need another meal. I am so full.
Okay.
I love it, though. It's good.
There's a Would You Rather on a Wednesday here on Jones and Keith. It's also,
crush that again.
Also a Celtics Wednesday. Yeah, feel free to vote. Text line. 37937. You can weigh in on the phones.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of controversy there.
Mm-hmm.
Deep dish or New York style pizza. We will get to our Celtics Wednesday guest, Justin Turpin, WEEI.com, runs Twitch here on the program. Joins us every Wednesday. We'll talk to Turp about the Celtics. Big game tonight. Jaylen Brown's health. That's next. Celtics Wednesday here on WEEI. It's Jones and Keefe. Every Wednesday at 11:45. Justin Turpin. Turp from WEEI. Good Celtics coverage there. You can give him a follow on Twitter at Justin M. Turpin. Check out all his coverage, rather, on WEEI. Now, peek behind the curtain here. Keith was just peppering you, Turp, with all kinds of props for the game tonight.
Yeah, I think he crafted up a masterpiece here.
I got a good one.
Really,
you guys
like it.
You guys want in on this?
Well, hang on.
I've been cooking it up a little
bit. From what I overheard, it sounded like, you know, not to step on his toes, parlay playboy or a parlay princess. It sounded like there were a lot of legs.
I did sound like Courtney or Wiggy. It's like, four-legger.
That's it?
Four-legger.
I feel
like
a
dog.
I feel like I heard
it's not an octopus. It's a dog.
I feel like I heard 12 or 13.
I got like a horse.
It sounded like a centipede parlay from what I was listening to.
Cow.
Okay.
Pig, other four-legged creature.
Yeah, sure.
So I'm going Tatum over 35 or more.
Yeah.
Good one. Five threes.
You like it.
He's averaging 30.
You
and
like
he's going to play
juice.
The fourth quarter tonight.
And five threes.
Yes, yes. Okay. I also like first half Celtics -3.5. What, you don't like that?
No, I just like the idea of you sweating out like the
first half.
Yeah.
I feel good about it.
Halftime.
And then six for the game. They're -6 for the game. Yeah, those
I
bad
like
boys
it.
Up. That's
I,
great.
I love that first half.
Grade that. Oh, that's his favorite.
He likes
they
that
are
parlay.
One of the best teams in the league in the first half.
Grade that parlay.
Give it a B+.
B+ parlay. I'm due. I have lost several parlays in a row.
I feel like he just, that was a little offensive.
No,
it's hard
B+.
To give an A. It's really hard. Dude,
trust me.
That's not easy.
It was hard to get an A.
That's not an easy accomplishment. So.
No. Okay. What are we, obviously you're on board with a lot of those Tatum props. So you expect, let's start with the box score. You expect a big Tatum performance tonight.
I mean, I just expect him to keep doing what he's been doing, and he's been big all season long.
So, but just to jump in, so you think it'll be just a normal Tatum game, not anything extra, is effectively what you're saying?
Okay. Yeah, I don't think he's going to do anything out of the ordinary, to be honest. I mean, he just doesn't make it about himself, which is one of his biggest, credit to him for that, because he just doesn't let the moment get too big. So I really don't expect him to come out and change the way he's playing.
I feel like that's been one of the criticisms that people have had with Tatum, is they want him to be something that he isn't, and they sort of see guys like, Michael Jordan, or like these just like cutthroat guys, and it's like, it's not in him.
Right.
And like, it clearly didn't have to be, because a lot of times people would connect the dot, be like, if you don't have that, then you can't win a title. It's like, well, he doesn't have that.
I think it's a sensibility thing. Like, Tatum's incredible, and I didn't think he had the greatest playoff run last year, but obviously he was the best player on a championship team season long.
No, we get it.
Jaylen had a better postseason. But, just from a sensibility standpoint, I do like the cutthroat athlete more so. And just,
I sort of why. I just don't think it's him, so I'm like...
No, it's not. But but tonight is different because the Olympic team would bother anyone, and it bothered him.
It does, but I just don't think he goes out of his way to make it about himself. I really don't. And he's been, publicly at least, kind of brushed it all off. It's whatever. It happened. We're focused on this now. And I really do believe he's focused on winning a championship. I know all eyes are going to be on this game tonight. People have circled this on the calendar, but I don't think he forces anything. I think he continues to play within the game. And the reality is, all he has to do is be himself, and he's going to put up a big numbers. That's just how he's been playing this year. He's averaging, 35-7. Like, if he just plays the way he's been playing, he'll be just fine. So that's a credit to him. I think we saw it during the finals last year where everyone's always comparing him and Luka Doncic, face of the league, whatever it may be. He didn't force anything. He was always just playing within the game, and they won an NBA championship because of that. So I know everyone's going to circle this because it's the entertainment business. It's supposed to be the cinema, but I don't think he plays any way any different than the way he always does. I really don't.
All right, what's going on with Jaylen Brown?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not really too concerned about it.
Okay.
Just listening to what Joe Mazzulla had to say about it, how it's a day-to-day thing, it just seems like they don't want to push anything right now.
They've been saying day-to-day for a lot of days, though.
It's only been 3 games. And
no, I know, just but based off, a lot of days. I mean, it's going back to what, Friday?
I so just he played Friday.
Baseline
he didn't,
research on
yeah,
this.
So he didn't play.
Usually.
November 2nd, he didn't play.
Okay.
So today's the 6th.
But you got to imagine he wanted to play in Atlanta.
For sure.
You got to imagine he wants to play tonight because he is a guy who I think would have a little added edge if he were out there tonight against the Warriors. Maybe they're saving him from himself, for all I know.
Yeah, maybe.
But I just think it's a little worse than the Celtics are letting on. It sounds a little worse than day-to-day to me.
It is a little concerning that it's been lingering since training camp. I agree with that, but it's just so early in the season. We're not even 10 games in. Why would they push him any more than they have to? And looking ahead...
Okay, but if it's no big deal, they're not pushing him is my point. So I agree. I'm not saying he has to play tonight. I just think it's a little more than they're letting on. That's all.
I think they're just being extremely cautious. And you have to be with Jaylen Brown. Like, you need him.
Well, the whole team you can be. You have, really.
Right.
Like, you're in a spot where you can sit Porzingis till the playoffs. You can do whatever you want, really. That's how good they are.
You just don't want this to keep getting worse. And looking ahead, like, I wouldn't be surprised if he sits more coming forward. Like, after tonight, they play the 4-4 Brooklyn Nets, the 1-6 Bucks, 3-5 Hawks, Brooklyn again, and 2-6 Raptors. What's the point of rushing him back?
Yeah.
You're 7-1. You're blowing teams out. I just don't see the point in rushing him back. And I get the concern because you want him to be out there. You don't want him to miss games. But, I mean, just don't push it.
All right, I'm all in on Kata this year. The guy seems like a bit of a killer. And Joe Mazzulla also has been, like, hyping him up big time. Is he someone that is going to actually carve out, like, a real role for himself? Like, is that sustainable, you think?
I think so. And really, every time he's on the floor, it feels like good things happen. I was looking at it the other day. They were 10-1 when he played at least 14 minutes last year. So he was really impactful, and he does it in unique ways, and he gives them a different look because he's not your traditional Celtics big, a guy that's going to spread the floor. And
no, he won't shoot threes.
Like, like Horford and Porzingis that are going to shoot threes. He's going to hang around the rim and make his money there, and he does a great job, and I think it's not perfect. At times, he does look lost defensively, but for the most part, he is very impactful. He leads the NBA in plus-minus among players that haven't played over 100 minutes. So that's impressive. I mean, he's been doing it with limited role, but I do think this is the year we see him more often.
Terp, you're there. You cover the Celtics. You're at all these games. Why do they hate Perk so much? Why do they let Perk bother them so much?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think there is kind of a different brotherhood when it's coming from somebody that wore the jersey, somebody that won a championship in that jersey that you're wearing. I think it does mean a little bit more when it's coming from somebody like that as opposed to like just a regular journalist or whatever it may be. I think there is some more weight that carries that because Perk won a championship here and was respected, not so much anymore. So I think it's just the fact that he is part of that brotherhood and won a title here, was a successful player here. And I mean, I give him credit. Some of the stuff that Perk says is pretty funny. Like the bird thing was hilarious. I mean, totally unwarranted.
Yeah, he's entertaining. He's entertaining.
Yeah,
he's funny.
But by like not inviting him back, you make like a bigger deal out of it than it needs to be.
100%.
Like, you'd be like, say whatever you want to say. You're in the media now.
You don't have to sit on the duck boat with him.
No.
He was going to be on a duck boat with Scal, for God's sakes. You didn't have to sit on the duck boat with him.
You also don't really need to have guys from the 08 team on duck boats.
You don't really need that, but they had it.
No,
and then they didn't want him there. And that's just weird.
It did
create a bigger story.
Yeah.
It's a credit to Perk because he's at least objective. Like a lot of these guys sometimes will be afraid to be objective of the team. And I give Perkins credit for actually being objective. But I get it. I see why they're upset with him. And some of the stuff he did say was, well, A, just wrong. And B, it was just, you know, a little bit too personal, I think.
Warriors tonight, it's like a new era. It's still Curry, and it's still Draymond, and it's still Kerr, but a lot of other new pieces. They're off to a 6-1 start, so like a decent enough team now?
Yeah, I mean, they're going 12 men deep in their rotation nightly, which is hilarious.
Yep.
I know the FIBA games are shorter, but it is funny, just kind of rich and ironic.
Kerr couldn't do it with 12 All-Stars. Now he's doing it with you know, 8 scrubs.
That's a good point.
I mean, they're just getting contributions up and down. You look at a guy like Buddy Hield pouring in 20 points a game off the bench. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's going to come down to earth because he's shooting 50% from three. Nobody's going to do
He's a marksman.
He is a great three-point shooter, but nobody's going to do that across an 82-game slate.
Oh, that's a good question. I forgot about this. Twitch chat brought it up, Dark and Stormy Nights. The Grant Hill thing. Grant Hill. I'm sorry. Grant Williams the other day. What What was that?
A clown.
Reckless. Yeah, reckless, dumb. I mean, I just don't get it. How this is supposedly your friend. He was talking, he was telling Caleb Burton of NBC Sports Boston after that. He made the wigs and had this big thing planned.
He was like, everybody was going to come over to his house for dinner.
He is insufferable.
No, I know that, but they all seem to like him at one point.
I don't think Jalen does.
Tatum seemed to like him. And so is he like now... Is that going to blow over, or is that something they're going to hold a grudge about?
I think they're going to hold a grudge on that. I really do. You can't defend that as a basketball play. It just was not a basketball player. He literally lowered a shoulder into him on a transition opportunity. Like,
yeah,
that's
Grant,
gonna get
Grant
hurt.
Used to do that to all their opponents his whole career while he was here, and they never had a problem with it. And so that feels a little hypocritical to me, but they're going to hold a grudge over this.
I wouldn't be surprised. I think they'll eventually talk.
I get not going over his house after the game on Friday night, but huh.
They won't be as close as they were before. No way. I mean, he was already an ex-teammate, so you keep ties with these guys. You keep, like, a friendship. You're not, like, buddy-buddy. It's not like they were hanging out.
They're pretty buddy-buddy with Kyrie.
They are. Yeah, they love him.
You know?
But they don't really hang out with them.
You know what's weird about Charlotte? They play Charlotte the last two games of the season. So they had that stupid, like, back-to-back games in Charlotte. The very last two games of the regular season are at the Garden Hornets.
That world of the NBA Cup world there. Mixing up the schedule a little bit.
Oh, okay.
Which I think they'll take serious this year, by the way.
The Cup, try to win that Cup?
I think they should. I mean,
Jones likes the Cup.
I like the NBA Cup. I do. I like it. It's a
great opportunity to get a guy like Luke Kornet who took less to be here. You get a financial incentive for winning. So how do you reward a guy that took less to be here and play for you?
It's also just a little test.
Send a message.
Exactly. It's just a little test. It didn't matter last year. They didn't win it. I put stock in it.
No, Lakers
did,
though. They hung a banner. This is a good season.
But it's just a little test for you. That's all. A little measuring stick, and it's a little more important than a stupid one-off regular season game. So I hope they put stock in it. Good stuff, Terp. He's at the Garden tonight. Follow all his coverage on WEEI at Justin M. Turpin on Twitter. Terp, we appreciate
it.
Thank you, Celtics Wednesday. Thank you.
All right, guys. Thank you.
All right. He's got the Celtics tonight. Right? You officially have the Celtics in this game tonight, right?
I do, yeah.
Okay, Celtics tonight.
Oh, yeah, laying the six.
He approved of your parlay.
He likes the
which
parlay.
Which made me think he had the Celtics, but I guess I never officially
asked. No, he likes the parlay.
So
hopefully he would have spoke up if he's like, I got the, you know, I got the Warriors. I like your Celtics minus six, but I got the Warriors. Like, wait, what?
So we'll get to all your thoughts on this. 617-779-7937. We'll circle back to the trade deadline as well. Gerard Mayo spoke about it today. Very interesting. In some of his answers, we read them to you. You'll hear them next.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.